Good morning. It is good to see you here, and we have some exciting moments ahead of us, for we have three baptisms that we are going to be doing later, just a little bit later in the service. And for all of you who are visiting and guests and family members of especially the baptized and any others, I know we have some visitors and guests and family members who are coming from other far distant places, a heartfelt welcome to all of you. We are glad you are here, and we hope that you will find value and help in this time of worship. Do we have announcements that need to be made during this time? Mary. Thank you, Mary. Are there other announcements that would like to be made? Seeing none, I am going to now ask us to begin our worship service with our call.
Please join me in the call to worship printed on the first page of your bulletin. Come, listen to Jesus' teaching. He speaks in parables and says, "Let anyone with ears listen." He tells of a farmer scattering seed. Most fell on poor ground and never produced grain. What a waste, but a little fell on good soil, producing lots of grain. If the farmer is the church and the seed is the good news we are urged to share, we aren't very efficient. We're throwing away the good news of the gospel and wasting it. God might not be efficient with grace and mercy and love, but God is generous in abundantly providing more than enough of what we need. Spirit of God, come into our world, our church, our hearts, to do your transforming work. Your ways are mysterious to us, but we are drawn to you through the witness of Jesus. Our world values efficiency, profits, success, and volume, but our ways are not your ways. Your love never ends. Your mercy is new every morning. Your compassion never fails. Your grace is amazing. Still our restless hearts during this time of worship, so the generous scattering of your love might fall upon us. Quiet our minds that we might hear what we need to hear and strengthen our will to do what you ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And now may we raise our voice in our first hymn of the day. It's on page 551, Come Ye Thankful People, Come. You are invited to stand if you are able.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please be seated, everyone except the children, who I hope will come forward for us to have some time together.
Come on, boys. Boys, I see no girls. Come on up. Find a place to sit. I need to have your wisdom. Come on, sit down. We're going to talk about some stuff that I need your help with. Go ahead. Okay. You betcha. I have some things here that I want to bring out, and got to be careful here. Don't want to spill things. I want to put them right back here. Yeah, I have what you already know. By the way, come on. I'm glad we have more. Come pull up a seat on the floor. Good guy. Okay. How many of you have a garden at home? Anybody? You have a garden?
Yeah.
What do you have in it? Lots of plants. I bet maybe tomatoes. Am I right? Maybe. A little bit. Yeah. I love them. I have a little garden over here that I just planted, and I'm anxious to enjoy some of the fruit that comes out of it. Well, I have some seeds with me today, and I want to talk about them. Now, I don't have too many with me because I planted most of what I have, but I've been trying to figure out where to plant them. You have any ideas where I could plant? Yes. In a hole. That's a good one. Yeah. Well, here, I have an idea. I'm going to plant one right here on the floor. Look at that. Now I can't wait to watch it grow. You think it'll grow?
No.
Why?
There's no soil.
There's no soil. And no water. Hmm. Worms make the soil rich so it can live. That's pretty good. That's good. I like that. Well, I'll tell you what. I have another one here. Maybe I can put a seed in there and watch it grow. You think that'll work? Look, there's something there to help it. Nice piece of rock. Don't you think that would work? That won't work either. You're giving me a real challenge here. Now, let me see. Maybe I have something else. Oh, look at here. You talked about soil. Look at that. There's soil in there, right? A lot of rocks. And if I put a seed in there, do you think that'll grow? Yeah, it probably will. Well, if I put water in it, right? I have to put water in it. It'll probably grow. Do you think it'll grow very big? Yeah, there are no worms in here. Yeah. And there's so many rocks in here. I think it would start growing, but after a little while, it would just stop growing. So you can have that seed, just don't eat it. Oh, you want to put it in here? Okay. Well, that's not the best place to plant either, is it? Oh, well, maybe I can find something else. Let's look right here. There, what do you think about that? If I put a seed in there, do you think it will grow? Yeah, that was unanimous. Why do you think it will grow there? There are no rocks. And all I have to do is add not only water, but maybe a few worms, and that would make a big difference, right? Yeah, I know. But you're right. Well, see, that's exactly what Jesus was talking about in what we're going to hear read a little bit later, that we throw seeds everywhere. And some of them land on the floor, and some of them land in a bunch of rocks and places that they're never going to grow, or if they do grow, they're not going to grow well. They're going to die before long. But if some of them are going to land in really, really good places where the soil is good, it's filled with water, and it's filled with worms, and they're going to grow, and they're going to grow up big, and they're going to produce all kinds of good things. Jesus said that's how he wants us to be. Everything we do is important. And some of it isn't going to work, but don't let that stop you from planting and trying to get it into the good place. And I think each one of you is the seed that's going to fall into here, because good things are going to come from you. And you wanted to tell me something. You forget. I should have let you talk right away, right? Well, that is my little story, but it's not my story. It's a story that Jesus told. That's what you want to know. What are these kinds of seeds? This is squash. You want to put that one in there? Back in there? Oh, you can have it. Okay. Well, that's the story, and I think it's now a good thing for us to have a prayer and to pray the same prayer that Jesus told everybody to pray. Can you do that with me? Okay. And I invite the congregation to join in. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your help, and I hope your gardens grow well. Okay, you can go back to where you were seated, okay? Yeah. You're coming back up real soon. Don't worry about going too far. Today is an important day in the life of the church. It's a day when we are going to receive new people into the body of faith through baptism. And we have three different children that are going to be baptized from two different families. And we're going to do them separately. We want each one to experience the love that comes just to them, and as well as all of us. So at this point, I'm going to invite the Hall family to come forward at the baptismal font. And you're welcome to bring the folks that you want to be with. And if I can get you to just gather around the font. And our liturgy is for all of us to participate in. And therefore, let us begin with the welcome. Members and friends in Christ, we gather now to celebrate the gift of grace in the sacrament of baptism. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Creator of us all. Jesus came to John to be baptized by him. John said, "I ought to be baptized by you, yet you have come to me."
Jesus said, "Let it be so now, for in this way you shall know all that God requires." So John agreed.
As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. The heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove, lighting on him. At another time, Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the one eternal God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. The sacrament of baptism is an outward and visible sign of the grace of God, inasmuch as the promise of the gospel is not only to us but also to our children. Baptism with water and the Holy Spirit is the mark of their acceptance into the care of Christ's church, the sign and seal of their participation in God's forgiveness and the beginning of their growth into full Christian faith and discipleship." Josh and Rebecca, first I say personally welcome. And we, I know as a congregation, are delighted in being able to have this time. And I hope that, and I'm sure that it's also true for you at this time of baptism. I have some questions that I would like to address to you. There are five of them, and I will help you with the response. Do you desire to have your child baptized into the family of Jesus Christ? If so, please respond, "We do." Will you encourage this child to renounce the powers of evil and to receive the freedom of new life in Christ? If so, please respond, "We will, with the help of God."
"We will, with the help of God."
Will you teach this child that he may be led to profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? If so, respond, "We will, with the help of God."
"We will, with the help of God."
Do you promise by the grace of God to be Christ's disciple, to follow in the way of our Savior, to resist oppression and evil, to show love and justice and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able. If so, please respond. We do with the help of God.
We do with the help of God.
Do you promise, according to the grace given to you, to grow with this child in the Christian faith, to help this child to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ by celebrating Christ's presence, by furthering Christ's mission in all the world, and by offering the nurture of the Christian church so that he may affirm his own baptism? If so, please respond. And also the sponsors. We do with the help of God.
We do with the help of God.
May I hold? Oh. And what name have you given? Connor Liam Hall. It is with much love and hope that I baptize you in the name of God the Creator, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'll be back. He likes me. To the congregation, I ask you for your assent. Jesus the Christ calls us to make make disciples of all nations and to offer them the gift of grace and baptism. Do you who witness and celebrate this sacrament promise your love, support, and prayers for the one who has been baptized as they live and grow in Christ? If so, please respond. God, we give you thanks of all the faithful for these your children and for the grace acknowledged here today in water and in the Holy Spirit. Embrace us all as sons and daughters in one household of your love. Grant us grace to receive, nurture, and befriend these new members of the body of Christ. And we have something to present to you. I invite the presenters to come forward. Okay, everything has been received, I think. And I am so pleased that you and we share this high moment together. And I invite you to return to your pews. And I invite our next family to also join us at the font. Julie. Welcome. This is really another high moment. It's a high moment when we do one, but to do three, it makes it even more significant. And we are pleased that you're here, and we are especially pleased for the boys at this moment. The questions have been asked, or the beginning part of this has already been conducted, and therefore what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn right to your consent questions and ask you the same questions that you just heard asked prior. Do you desire to have your children baptized into the family of Jesus Christ? If so, respond, we do. Will you encourage these children to renounce the powers of evil and to receive the freedom of new life in Christ? If so, please respond, we will, with the help of God. Do you promise by the grace of God to be Christ's disciples, to follow in the ways of our Savior, to resist oppression and evil, to show love and justice, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able? If so, please respond, we do, with the help of God. Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to grow with these children in Christian faith, to be faithful members of the Church of Jesus Christ, by celebrating Christ's presence, by furthering Christ's mission in all the world, and by offering the nurture of the Christian church so that they may affirm their baptism? If so, please respond by saying, we do, with the help of God. Jonah? Tell me the name that Jonah has.
Jonah Uriah.
It is with great deal of pleasure that I baptize you in the name of God the Creator, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And what name have you given to this child?
Noah Uriah.
Noah Uriah, I baptize you in the name of God the Creator, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And this time, I'm going to get you where you belong in the worship service rather than as I did last time, to you, the congregation. Jesus the Christ calls us to make disciples of all nations and to offer them the gift of grace in baptism. Do you who witness and celebrate this sacrament promise your love, support, and prayers for the ones who have been baptized as they grow in Christ? Jonah and Noah, here, let me grab your hands. I'm not going to carry you two guys. Well, we are going to take this walk and let everybody see the two of you, the newest members of our church. Okay, let's go back. Let us do our response in prayer. We give you thanks, God, for all the faithful, for these your children, and for the grace acknowledged here today in water and the Holy Spirit. Embrace us all as sons and daughters in the one household of your love. Grant us grace to receive, nurture, and befriend these new members of the body of Christ. Amen. And we have some gifts to present to you. Welcome into the church, boys. Yes, thank you.
And now let us raise our voices in song for our next hymn on page 492, Baptized in the Water. And you are welcome to stand if you so choose.
The epistle reading is from the 8th chapter of Romans, verses 1 through 11. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you.
The gospel reading of this day is taken from Matthew. It is the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 9, and then 18 through 23. Hear this word. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. And then verses 18 through 23. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. That is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another case 60, and in another 30. Thus ends the reading of the scripture for this Sunday morning. May the words of my mouth Some time ago, I made an intentional decision about things I was going to reduce within my sermons. And what I am addressing and moving toward telling you at this moment is that I decided to reduce the number of illustrations of significant, recognizable people in my sermons. The great saints and people of significant contributions and accomplishment have been planters of seeds that have shaped the church throughout the centuries. Now, there are countless numbers of such people, but to give you an example, people like Francis of Assisi, Martin Luther, David Livingstone, and again, hundreds of thousands of others beyond that. These people have, for the most part, gone beyond what any of us could ever possibly measure up to. They have been prolific sowers of seeds in Christian life. And the reason I reduced using such examples is because I believe, though such people must be remembered in the life and history of who we are, I believe we must hear more about the people who have sown Christian seeds on a smaller but no less significant scale. Today's gospel reading is about seeds. Some seeds were planted and were productive, and then some fell in places where they were not. But Jesus seemed to be telling the listener that measuring the percentage of successful seeding is not an issue. Don't fret over it. He seems to be saying that our responsibility is to keep at it, to be doing it, though we get tired, though we get weary, and maybe even though we get tired of not having anything spring up. Keep at it. Keep planting and don't give up hope, because some of the seed that we plant is going to do just fine. Some of the seed is going to develop into something that is good. Some of the seed is going to become productive 100, 60, 30-fold over. Our job is not to be concerned about the 100, 60, or 30-fold. Our job is to be faithful planters, to continue the planting no matter what. I am going to talk this morning about some of the planters of seeds in my life. Mr. and Mrs. Solt, S-O-L-T. You never heard of them, but they were my Sunday school teachers when I was a child, when I was a little boy. And to be candid about it, I can tell you either the flowery response or I could tell you what I think I really remember about them in that time. I can't remember any great teaching by either of them. I know they taught Bible stories, but I'm not able to remember any particular Bible story that they taught. But here is what I do remember about Mr. and Mrs. Solt. We were kids, and there were lots of us, baby boom generation. The Sunday school room was overflowing with children, and we were a rowdy group. One of the ways that we referred to the Solts, since one had gray hair and the other didn't, we referred to them as Mr. and Mrs. Salt and Pepper. Year after year, and Sunday after Sunday, the Solts were there with a new lesson, and they renewed their efforts, continuously hoping that with all that endless planting of seeds, that something out of that soil was going to grow, something was going to become productive and was going to be able to produce. As cruel as the children were, in retrospect, I know as kind as they were committed planters of seeds. Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Solt. Jim was the pastor of the congregation I attended and where I was ordained. Like many, Jim had some physical conditions that were challenging to him, but he was always upfront about the challenges that he faced. Day after day and year after year, Jim was always doing everything he could to faithfully serve his Christian beliefs and his flock. He was a seed planter among the best that I have known. Jim is responsible for having no less than 12 of his college students that he was the pastor, the church that he was the pastor of, go to seminary, become ordained, and serve the church. Many of them continue to serve faithfully throughout this country. I am one of them. And out of those 12, who knows how many others have also sprouted up and are now faithfully serving the church in some place, in some way. You never know what seeds will grow, but the words of Jesus are, keep on planting. Those weren't his words, but that, I believe, was his focus. Keep on planting. There are seeds available. Use them. Some will grow. Sometimes the most incredible results occur because of some insignificant and unspectacular moment when a seed is planted. One of the reasons for weekly worship is to develop some good habits. That's why people come. They develop good habits. I have known so many people who have been faithful attenders and then for some reason or another stopped attending. And inevitably, when I ask why, the answer is the same. Going to church is a habit. I got out of the habit. When you come to church, we are attempting to create good habits. When a good habit becomes part of our lives, then we find ourselves planting seeds without even being aware of it, because that's our life. That's what our life has become. If each one of us was to identify a moment when someone in our life offered a word, a thought, a gift, and it was at that one right moment in life, then what we might recognize is it was really a seed that helped us grow into what we are today. Some of you know the name William Willimon. He's a significant writer and preacher, a United Methodist, and he wrote this story that I'd like to share with you. He tells about being greeted by a young woman one day when he returned to a congregation he had served many years earlier. She greeted him enthusiastically, but he said he, in all honesty, did not remember who she was. And then she recounted the story. She was a member of his confirmation class that met every Saturday. One Saturday, rainy, dark Saturday, the class was to be held, and she was the only student to show up. And he decided that he was not going to teach one student all afternoon, so he said to her, "Why don't you come with me? I'm going to visit some people in the retirement center and people who cannot get out of their homes. I want you to come with me." So for the afternoon, they went. He said they never probably exchanged 12 words during the entire afternoon. But now, more than 20 years later, this young woman stands before him and said, "I am now a social worker, and it was that day and those visits with you to the shut-ins and the nursing homes when I discovered and already identified what my life work was going to be." And that's what she was doing. You never know where the seeds will land when you sow. It's millions and millions of seedings done by millions and millions of people that shape the world. It's the countless acts of seeding plants that have a chance to grow and be productive. Here is where every one of us, you, me, every one of us becomes an active participant in what God is doing. To become an active participant and to be making the world into what God wants. In the 1980s, I went on a tour to Israel and Palestine. In the northern region near Nazareth, every bus of tourists stops, and every person is presented with a seedling fir tree to be planted. Ages ago, the area was thick with a thick forest, and over time, it was deforested. In an attempt to reforest the area, they found busloads of willing tourists who would happily dig a small hole and plant a tree. I am interested in returning to that place one day to see the size of the forest. Jesus said, "Don't stop seeding. Don't stop, because some of it is going to fall into good ground. Some of it will grow, and some of it will produce beyond your own imagination." Tom was my childhood friend. We met on the street corner. There was a street between us, and neither of us was allowed to cross. So when we met, we spoke across the street on the corner. There was nothing Tom would not do or give, not only for me, but for others. In all honesty, I cannot imagine a better friend than him. He lived in a duplex, and living next to him was a man who lost his wife years earlier while Tom was still there. Tom and his wife fed that man dinner every night for nearly 15 years at their table. Once when we visited our hometown where Tom lived, Tom asked us to stay with him. He and his wife said, "Please stay with us." And we chose to do that. Little did we know that they wanted us to have the very best. They wanted us to have the best that they had. And so they vacated their master bedroom, gave it to us, and they slept in another part of the house. The stories go on with Tom, but you see, Tom always struggled with another issue. Tom was illiterate, and he lived with the fear of that being discovered. But Tom was a seed planter. He was among the best seed planters I've ever known. His selflessness was his strongest asset, and there are others beside myself who know that seeds of goodness and kindness and compassion and love were planted by him. As I look over and back over my life, both before and after ordination, I can recall many, many people who were sowers of seeds. I, like them, will probably never know in this lifetime what grew out of those plantings, but I am certain of this: if there is no planting, then there is no harvest, which is most likely exactly what Jesus meant when he said, "He who has ears, let them hear." Don't stop planting. Amen. Our next hymn is found on page 171, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." Again, if you are able and choose to, you may stand. Please be seated. We are to move into a time of prayer, and your concerns, your needs, and the needs you perceive in others, it is most appropriate that we raise them and share them so that we can all carry that. You are invited to share your concerns and your joys.
Thank you.
Thank you for Hildy. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. I didn't quite hear that. Ah, Logan is going, yeah, for the first time in 7 years, a vacation with mom. Sounds wonderful. And keep in mind, Debbie Goodwin's mother, our father, died last week, and she's, I'm certain, in a time of great sorrow herself. Will you take time in this worship to be in silence with the rest of us? And in this time of silence, I hope you too will raise your prayers. And if you heard something that you can also include in your prayers, I would invite you to do that. God, we know that you are listening to us. You are tuned to hear every utterance that comes from our minds and our mouths. We are grateful that you care so deeply about not only we who are gathered here, but for those who are beyond these walls, for the utterances of joys and sorrows from all who have them are held deeply and tightly to your heart. God, we pray for those this day who are dealing with grief and loss. For those who have lost loved ones, it is a very difficult time. We ask for your presence of peace with each. God, we also give thanks for this day when we reintroduced and welcomed into the church 3 new children who have been baptized. For the hope that they bring, the seeds that they represent, and the possibilities of what can flow and grow from each one of them is something that we can only imagine and be excited about. We pray that you will walk with them and their families in all days and allow them to flourish. God, we pray for the people of this world who are locked in terror, terror of war, terror of natural disasters. We ask you to be with all those people. And the terror isn't just for those in far-off places. It's often for those who are in our own embrace, who are within our own communities. God, help each person who knows such terrors of living to find peace and hope and to be restored. God, we pray for the church, not only this congregation, but for every body that worships you. We ask you to raise each one of them with a spirit of commitment. May each one of us continue to do the planting that Jesus has called us to do and know that much seed will fall on good ground and it will grow, it will produce, and we will flourish. For this, God, we are grateful. We are especially grateful to be part of your great plan. We pray this all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In preparation for our time of giving, I shared this little thought with you. It's been written, "What would we think of the Wright brothers if they had spent a lifetime building the airplane, then just left it in their shop? Suppose someone had come to them and asked, 'When are you going to fly it?' And they answered, "Oh, we don't intend to fly it. All we want to do is look at it and work on it and love it. But fly it? Never. That's too risky. We have been commissioned to be the church, and we have been commissioned to fly, regardless of how risky it is. And part of that flying is reflected in what we do with our offerings of both money and time. I invite each one of you to be among the givers of this day as the ushers are among us."
God, we present to you these gifts, but we present them also to your people to serve this community and to serve the world. For those who are able to give, we are grateful, and we ask your blessings upon them. And for those who are not able to give, we also ask for your blessings to be upon them, and know that we are all contributing our abilities and our skills to be your people in this world. Through the name of Jesus Christ, we offer these gifts. Amen. And now may you pass the peace with one another. And now may the peace of God be with each of us for today, tomorrow, and for all days. May we go not only in peace, but may we go being assured that all that we face, all that we do, all that we experience, we go and do that knowing that we are greatly loved. Amen.